scripture for today, I want to introduce this new series. And it's entitled Heaven and Hell. And I've actually had a request for this from just a few people, but over the last few years I've had people talk to me about, I'd like to know more about this area of hell. What's it really like? What's it about? We know what heaven's like, and you're going to get a combination of these. This is not going to be a real long series. Maybe four, maybe five. We'll see where the Spirit leads me in this series. But today we're going to talk a very basic level. For some of you that have been followers of Jesus Christ, you're going to get kind of a little pep talk today. If you are on the fence and you haven't committed your life to Christ, you're going to get that bare grounds minimum sermon message today of what do I need to do to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's where I want to start our baseline out in this series, because as we progress the next few weeks, we're going to talk a little bit about the reality of heaven and the reality of hell. And what does that look like for me on Judgment Day? And one of the questions I often get asked too is, what happens when I take my last breath here on earth? Where do I go? What does that look like? And the Bible tells us a lot about that. And so we're going to learn about that. And really, it's heaven or hell for us when we die, unless Jesus returns first. And so that's what this series is going to look like. And I promise you, it will inspire you, it will challenge you, and it might step on your toes once in a while, but that's okay, because we need that, right? To stay in the straight and narrow with Jesus Christ. And so that's where we're going to begin in this series. And so you can pray for me as I put these messages together, and we'll get started. So here is your sermon title for today. Where are you? John 1, verse 6 through 13. So turn with me in your pew Bible this morning. Or if you have your own Bible with you, you can follow along, make some notes. And let's read together. Now this set of verses speaks of John the Baptist, but of the light that's to come. And you know that the light is Jesus Christ. So that's where we're going to set the stage today, and then we're going to build from there in the message. So John chapter 1, verses 6 through 13 is what's going to be our text for today. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. And of course, that speaks of giving our life to Jesus Christ. And so let us pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we've heard from your word and we see the words of John the Baptist, Lord, speaking of the greatness of Jesus that's on the horizon, that will come as a child but yet will go to the cross for our sins. Lord, he brings the light into the dark places of this world, especially into those who will give their life to Christ. Lord, may these words be your words today. Lord, may they penetrate the hearts, the minds, and the souls of those that are gathered here in this church and those who are listening online to us, Lord. Lord, may they be encouraged, may they be challenged, and Lord, may you just do a great work in their lives. And Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. I got a picture I'm going to show you that's a little bit older, but you will get to it right away. All right? I still have that dark hair yet, as you can see. Let me tell you a story about this picture. When our boys were young, Dory and I lived on the farm place just west of Inwood here, and I was still, I think, in the, I was farming with my dad or starting seminary here. But when our boys were little, I'd be working around the yard somewhere, and they would get their words mixed up, and they would say this to me. They'd come out of the house, and I'd be working somewhere in the yard, and they didn't know where I was, and they'd go to the middle of the yard, and they would yell out at me these words, "Where you are," is what they'd say. And they'd yell that a couple times, "Where you are! Where you are!" And then, of course, I'd hear them after a few times, most of the time, and I'd say, over here, over here. And they'd run and they'd come find me because they wanted to be with me out there in the farmyard to see what I was doing. They were curious. They wanted to know what was going on. All right? Now, let me ask you a question today about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Where are you in your relationship with the Lord today? Okay, I want you to think about that in your faith walk, in your journey. Let me ask you a few questions that you can resonate and kind of see where you're at this morning. Is it secure? Is it growing? Am I doing what He's called me to do in my life? Have you hollered at God where you are? Where you are? And you've heard Him say, I'm right here. I'm right here. And you've accepted that in your life. And here's the deeper question I want to ask you this morning. Do I know where I'm going after I leave this life? That's what I'm most concerned about as a pastor. Where is your faith at in this life? Because the reason I was called into ministry is to preach the Word of God and get as many people to heaven as I possibly can. Amen to that? Right? That's what it's about. And that's what I preach today, because for all of you that are gathered in this place and you're listening online, I want you to be in heaven one day, and my heart weighs heavy for that, and I preach from that. And I praise God for giving me that ability. And so today, this is where we start. And so I want to take just a moment, and I'm going to pray that God reveals some things to you and I. So let's pray. God, as we sit before You today, reveal to us where we are honestly at in our faith walk with You. Show us where we are falling short. Show us where we are cutting some corners that we should not be cutting. Make us aware of our disobedient ways. Lord, call us closer to You in this journey. In Jesus I pray, amen. Now let me just talk to you about a few things about you and I. We were originally designed and created to worship God, right? Now before the fall, Adam and Eve, they were with God in the garden. They were present with each other. And then we know the story goes downhill from there, and sin enters the world, and sin has messed up worship. And so you and I are given a natural ability. We are created by God to worship. And unfortunately, we sometimes worship the wrong things. And you might not even know it in your life. But God is the one, through the Holy Spirit, who helps us figure that out in our life. That's why you're here this morning. Because you're starting to figure out, what am I supposed to worship in my life? And what is right and what is wrong? And God is doing something in each and every one of you this morning. You're here for a reason. You crave in your soul to worship something in this life. You know, if you read books and you look at stories throughout the world, every kind of culture, every type of people, they worship something. Because God created people to worship. Originally to worship God, to worship Jesus, to worship the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. And then along came Jesus Christ, who restored worship, who brought us back into that relationship with Jesus, with God the Father. He took away our sins. We're forgiven when we ask. And notice we get to go to the table today, and we get the joy of His grace as well. Your primary purpose in life is to worship God. But let me ask you just a few more things. Let me point out just a few more things to you this morning. So God desires a close, intimate, loving, dynamic, powerful, personal relationship with you and I. That's what He desires. That's what He wants. That's how He created you to be. And your sole purpose on this earth is first to worship Jesus Christ. Right? That's what you're called to do when you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, here's some of the problem that you and I deal with today. This is what we face because we live in a sinful world. We like to worship the wrong things in our life. Let me just point out a few of them. See, some of us think that our primary purpose in life is our job. That's not what you're created for. You're created to work. Don't get me wrong. You're created to provide. But that's not your primary purpose. Some of you think that your primary purpose is maybe developing your career and climbing the ladder. There's nothing wrong with that when it's in the right place, as long as God is worshiped first in your life. Don't worry, I have a pretty long list too, by the way, to get you to think about what's going on in my life, right? Where are you? You see, God, your primary purpose in life is not to live for the weekend either. It's not what he calls you to do. You can enjoy the weekend. You can go do things. Nothing wrong with that. As long as your primary purpose is worshiping God. Some of us think that our primary purpose is our hobbies, our toys, or sports, or entertainment, or whatever it might be. You fill in the blank. And that's why I asked you the question this morning, because we're all in different places. We all deal with different things as we live this life of what comes in and tries to steal worship to our Creator in heaven. What is it? Beware. You know, I prayed that prayer that you and I can recognize, where are we disobedient? What needs to change? Where do I need to build my relationship with Jesus Christ that he's first and worship is the most important thing that I have? My Father in heaven. Christianity is not about coming to church. It goes way beyond that in your life. This morning, the question that you and I need to answer truly is this: are you truly in love with Jesus Christ? Or is there something else that's stealing that love away from Jesus in your life? Are you truly in love with Jesus Christ? Because that's what he's asking for this morning. And so let me lead you into this next part of this sermon here. I'm going to give you three keys to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, some of you are out here, and you're like, man, I've been walking with the Lord for a long time. I'm deep in Scripture. I know what it's about, and I get it, and I get that. But some of you are not. You maybe haven't cracked a Bible in a while. You maybe haven't prayed in a while. And that's where I want to start here today, at this baseline of what does that look like in my life? And so here's the first key I want to give you this morning. First key is truth. Three keys to relationship with God, being closer to God, is truth. All right? Now, what I'm suggesting for you this morning is that you be totally honest with God. When you come to him in prayer, you need to be who you are. He already knows who you are, but have you ever tried to fake it? Don't share everything maybe that you know you're going through, or that you're doing, or that you're involved in, or that you're looking at, or whatever it might be. Don't hold back certain areas of your life. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't hold areas of your life back that you say, that's just for me. I don't want God in this area of my life, because this is what I enjoy doing, and this is what I'm being a part of. And let me tell you that, if you're walking like that, that is not how God calls you and I to walk. He wants that close relationship with you and I. You got to be truthful with Jesus in your life. I got a verse on the screen I want you to look at this morning. John 17, verse 10 says, all I have is yours, right? He blesses us with things that you and I have. And then he says, and all you have is mine. I've given it to you. I've created it. And then he says this to you and I. And here's where I think maybe it gets a little bit tough in our life, because this is what he says next. And glory has come to me through them. What that essentially says is that everything that you've been given in your life should go to be the glory of Jesus Christ. It should point to Him in everything that you do. So I want you to think about all those things that I talked about this morning, those hobbies, those sports, those vacations, those gifts, your job. You just keep the list going. Does that all point to Jesus Christ? To glorify Him? Because He said to you that everything has been given to you by Him. And a lot of times we don't like to give everything back, do we? We pick and choose what we want to glorify God with or in our lives. Think about that for a moment. He must be first in every area of your life. Your Jesus filter needs to run 24/7. You need to be aware at all times of what does your faith walk look like. And let me just interrupt just for a moment here this morning. I do not expect you to be perfect, and neither does Jesus. Because you and I are what? Sinners. You're going to fall sometimes. You're going to mess up sometimes. But then we ask for forgiveness, and by the grace of Jesus Christ, He places us back on the rock. Says, keep being my son or daughter. I love you. All right? Remember those things in your life. So I'm not calling you to live perfectly. I'm just calling you to love Jesus in the midst of that as you live life. You know, if you're familiar with Jesus, His encounter with the young lawyer, He teaches us the definition of everything. This is what He says. The young lawyer, he's sitting there. Of course, this is a parable. But He says, teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, He says in Luke 10, verse 27, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind. And your neighbor the same way. That's what He says to him. And more or less, Jesus says, you need to everything you've been given, just glorify me. Everything you do, glorify God. That's how you get eternal life. You keep me first. Nothing else should come between us. I'll bless you with a good job. I'll provide money for you. I'll bring healing in certain situations when you find yourself in a bad crisis. Or I might call your loved one home to be with me, but just trust my plan. Trust my plan. You know, we sing that song, Hymn of Heaven, to breathe the same air that Jesus is breathing. Of course, we know that theologically that's not right because I don't think heaven needs air because we're in the spiritual form there, whatever that looks like. But you get it. You're in a closeness with those you love. How many of you are desiring to see the loved ones that have died before you? I sure am. Just a few of you? Well, good luck with the rest of you then. But you get it? Do you see it? That's what I want you to have in your life. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. So let me ask you some questions this morning about where you are. If prayer seems a chore for you, you're probably not in the right place with God. If coming to church is a drag for you, you're probably not in the right place with God. Right? If worship becomes a chore for you, you're probably not in the right place with God. And when I say worship, I'm talking about singing praises out to God. I don't care what hymn it is or what PowerPoint song it is. I want to know where your heart's at with God when you stand and you belt out a song, How Great Thou Art. That's what I'm talking about. Worshiping God. Walking with the Lord. Where are you Where are you at today? Where are you at in your walk with the Lord? Hold nothing back. Be truthful. Talk with Him. Be honest. Where are you hurting? Where are you falling short? Where do you need help? What's not working for you? Gratify Him for what's been so good, so blessed. What do you have that you're so thankful for? He wants to hear it all. Not just pieces, but all of it from you and I. Here's the second key. This will be the hardest one for you and I. All right? Time. Time. In the world that you and I live in today, this is the one you will struggle with the most. It will compete for you. And you, I don't have to tell you that. But let me just talk to you about time in a different way today. If you desire to have that close relationship with God, you must put time into it. All right? Yeah. I think my youngest son, Aaron, he's a senior this year. He doesn't know I'm talking about him. He does now. So forgive me, Aaron. But he come home with the slogan on the back of his shirt for the West Lyon football team for this fall. And he's playing for the team. And you're going to have to help me out a little bit because I know what it, I think what it says is, I'm going to mess it up because I don't remember it exactly. But if you put in the, how does that go? Show up and do the work. See, there you go. I want to tell you that's the same thing you should do for your Christian life. Show up, do the work. That's what Jesus wants from you and I. And I thought that's such a good slogan. Too bad we should get some First Reformed shirts and said, show up and do the work on the back, right? Show up and do the work. And that's what I'm talking about when it comes to time. Show up and do the work in your life, whatever that looks like. I mean, it's different for every one of us. As you live in your community, as you live in your family, as you live in your workplace, your neighbors, those you know, I mean, show up and do the work is what he says. Be the light. Glorify others through God. Share the goodness of Jesus Christ. Now, I said I wanted to work through a different way this morning here with you this morning when it comes to time. This is where I'm going to step on your toes just a little bit, but that's okay. Because this is kind of a verse for me too. Like, it calls me to attention every time that I see it. And that's Revelation 3, verse 16. It says this. Do I have that on the screen up here? No, I don't. Let me just say this to you this morning. Jesus calls lukewarm Christianity in Revelation 3, verse 16. He says that if you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm. And he says, I desire for you to be one or the other. Either you're hot for me and you're pursuing me with all your heart, or you're not. Don't be on the fence. Is what he says. And then he goes on to say this. In fact, if you're lukewarm, I want to spit you out of my mouth. Because he says, I don't have any time for that type of Christianity. If you're going to follow, you're going to follow me full on. Show up and do the work, is what he says. Put in the time. Know who I am. AKA, read your Bible. Know what the Word says. Know where to stand in this day and age when things come at you that you think this is not how we should live. This is not what the culture should be teaching us. Know the truth. Show up and do the work. See, I think the church has been too silent for too long this past few decades. And God says, you need to show up, church. You need to do the work, church. This is why you're in the problem you have today with society that's going on. We haven't done the work. Let me just go deeper with you this morning. See, every one of us, because of sin, remember I said that worship is inside of you, that you want to worship God and then sin has entered? You have this void inside of you, deep in your soul. That you try to fill with A lot of times earthly things to bring you joy and satisfaction and comfort and contentment, all those types of things that compete for your soul, there's that void that's in there. And sometimes you might strive and I might strive for the wrong things. And the only thing that can fill that void is Jesus Christ. And when you find him, you will know it. Amen? And maybe you're sitting in the pew and you're thinking, you know, I have that void. I don't get it. I'm not at peace in my life. I'm restless. I'm grabbing the wrong things. Then I pray for you today that you find Jesus Christ. This is where I wanted to start today. Because when I start to pile it on next week about hell, you need to know where to stand. Because it's not an easy place. It is not a nice place to be. And if only the rest of the world knew what that was like. But you're going to hear it. What's it like? You don't want to be there. You don't want your family to be there. You don't want your neighbor to be there that you maybe haven't talked to in 3 years because you don't like him. But he needs to know about Jesus. Only God can fill that void. And that void is filled. You will make time with your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how it works. That's where you need to be. Let's get on to this last one. Trust. Trust. How many of you have ever been in a relationship or you find yourself in a group of people and they've broken trust with you? Have you ever experienced that in your life? You don't have to raise your hand today. It might be in your marriage. It might be with a coworker. It might be with a good friend, right? Trust gets broken, and that can devastate the relationship. But let me tell you this morning. With Jesus Christ, the trust that you have with him will never be broken, ever. Hold on to that in your life. People, good Christian people, will fail you. They will violate your trust. You will be hurt by even church people. And if you haven't yet, just wait, you will be. Because we're sinners. But I want to tell you about God. I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. He will stand by your side through thick and thin if you keep going to him. You can trust him. You can trust him. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 on the screen here this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Remember, not just part of it, right? All of it, it says. And then lean not on your own understanding. There are a lot of people today that lean on their own understanding. I'd love to talk with some people, and then you hear these comments come out of people. You know, you talk about Scripture, you talk about Jesus, and then somebody says this. Well, that's not what I believe. This is what I think my truth is. Whoa, the only truth is Scripture. And if you think you can find your own truth for what's going on in this world, you will be sadly mistaken. Be careful, young people. There seems to be a drastic movement like that today. Well, you have your truth and I have my truth. No, it's God's truth all the time. All the time. So Scripture encourages us to put our trust in God. And so let me just throw these few things at you. I don't know where you're at in your faith walk today. You do. God knows exactly where you are. But I want you to think about where you're at, what's going on. I want you to think about what are the struggles that I'm having in my faith walk? Where am I falling short? Where do I need help? Do I need to be talking to some people about my journey, my faith journey? I mean, there are good Christian people around here that you can tug on their ear and say, hey, I don't get this. I'm struggling with that. I need some help with this. Pray for me. I don't get this Bible verse. Give me some understanding of what that should be like. Don't be afraid. And so here's your homework today. All right, this is what you go home with. Okay, I want you to look deep into your soul today, and I want you to ask yourself this question, okay? This is not a rhetorical question. You're thinking, well, Rob, I do that all the time. No, what I'm asking you to do is I want you to look deep into your soul. Am I a follower of Jesus Christ, and does my life show it? Does my life show it? So I'm going to leave you with today. All right? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you know exactly where we are. We don't always know where we are. Lord, help us to figure that out. Draw us close to you. May your Spirit just light up this church today and those that are listening online. May they be committed followers of Jesus Christ. Lord, it's easy to do this in here. But when we leave through those doors today, that's where you call us to be real. That's where you call us to work. That's where the world sees us work. That's where the light goes out into the world. Lord, may you just guide us in that. May your Spirit walk with us as we leave this place today. And Lord, may you just bless this sermon series over the next few weeks. Speak to us in a new way. In Jesus I pray, amen. I'm going to invite you to stand this morning and we're going to sing.